Each Friday morning at this time, we are joined by State Representative Christy Purcell. Good morning, Representative Purcell.
Good morning, Jeff.
Thank you so much for coming in today.
I'm here live in person this week. I'm happy to report.
All right. It's back to work. You know, you had the little break for Easter and spring break and such, but now you've, it's kind of, I don't know, does it feel like we're hitting the home stretch now? You got, what, about a month left?
A home stretch in that it's really ramping up.
Okay.
And we had Wednesday off because it was Eid, so the end of the holy month of Ramadan for my Muslim colleagues. So that was really nice. I had a day in the middle of the week just to actually, I took a big nap and tried to catch up on some of my work.
All right. Let's talk about that work this week. There was a healthcare bill that, I don't know if you sponsored or you went to help.
Yes.
Let's talk about that.
Great. So I am the chief author of this bill to create a healthcare commission to look at access to healthcare. So I've not had any hearings in the House yet, and I'm trying to squeeze that in. The end of next week is the third deadline. So we need to, you know, the chairs are getting their omnibus bills put together, trying to figure out. We have very small targets for, you know, it's not a budget year. So bonding is sort of the big thing that we'd like to get done. But this is a proposal. Actually, the Senate Majority Leader, Erin Murphy, is the Senate author. She has a third hearing about this commission today. She had two on Tuesday. So things are moving fast over there in the Senate. So I'm trying to catch up and get a hearing or two. But it's really trying to look at, last year we passed measures to help Minnesotans afford their lives in areas of childcare, higher education, housing, and we know healthcare is a place where we spend a lot of money, both personally, individually, and as a state. And yet we see this continued consolidation. We see closing of services or buildings altogether. We know that insurance companies are doing just fine. So really trying to wrap our arms around why are Minnesotans and Americans paying the most out of pocket for healthcare with some of the worst outcomes, and trying to get this commission together would be talking to people all around the state, because we've heard from people in Grand Marais who have said, I can't age here. I can't grow old here. There's no services for me. And I have a friend who lived in Grand Marais 15 years ago, and she had a baby in Grand Marais, but they don't do that anymore in Grand Marais. Then it was, you know, folks had to drive to Two Harbors. Well, then they stopped that service in Two Harbors. So now if you live in Grand Marais, or God forbid, even further up the shore, Grand Portage, you have to drive to Duluth to have a baby. And so we're spending a lot of state dollars. How is that, or isn't it, serving Minnesotans instead of serving shareholders and really trying to get our arms around what Minnesotans need and how we make this more affordable for people's lives.
All right. And you have, is that on the schedule for a hearing yet?
It's not yet, but I have some, I mean, to have the majority leader in the Senate be pushing this is a helpful tool that I hope to get a hearing or two this very last minute.
There's you're working on another bill that is concerning junk fees.
So last night,
what is that?
Yes, so last night off the floor, there was a, as we like to say, a robust discussion around this concept of eliminating junk fees. So what we have seen more and more lately is that if you go out for dinner somewhere, you know, you see your total, you see tax, you see your total. That's the grand total. That's how it used to be. Now there's a wellness fee, and there's a service fee, and there's a there was a list read on the House floor last night of all the kind of at some point ridiculous names for things that are really undefined, and certainly consumers don't know, well, what the heck is wellness fee? And I know as I have been looking at music and sports events for the summer, and you go on a website and it says, oh, these tickets are $23. Oh, great. Well, by the end, there's fee after fee after fee after fee, and it's not $23. It's $45. Mm-hmm. And that is certainly also giving an advantage to bigger corporations who might make it look like your hamburger is $10, but then at the end, really, it's $20 versus maybe smaller operations who don't have access to the technology, who they just need to list the price is $20. And just it's a transparency thing. And we also passed a bill, it was House File 1989, that my colleague Kelly Mueller took up after trying to get Taylor Swift tickets and sort of the runaround between Ticketmaster and these private entities, you know, selling tickets before there were tickets available and all the confusion. And so some clarification there, too, about that.
Process. That has become, though, I don't I don't go to too many Taylor Swift concerts.
Me neither.
But you hear about these, and I certainly do go to restaurants and such. And yeah, there's for me, that seems like an unfair thing, not only for the consumer, but for the small business. You know, if they just write down $20, all of a sudden you're competing against a $10 hamburger that really is $20. You're just getting lied to.
Exactly. And that is it's a fairness issue. And so trying to have that disclosure up front. I mean, if you try to buy a hotel room, a plane ticket, all of these things just have all these hidden fees. And we're saying, don't hide them. You need to come out front with them. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Once again, Representative Christy Purcell from District 58A is with us, our guest today. This is a bonding bill, as you had just mentioned. We've talked about some of the projects in the past that Northfield, the area ones, are might be able to get some bonding dollars for. Where is that? Are we starting to bonding is usually kind of the last thing that things sit. You get working on. This is traditionally known as a bonding year, though it's not required that you pass anything.
Right.
Where are we at? And is Northfield still in some of these?
I sure hope so. I'm working hard to do that. So last year we got, I think, around $8 million for the completion of the Milltowns Trail so that folks will be able to bike from Red Wing to Mankato or Mankato to Red Wing. Northfield was sort of the missing link in there that is not completed yet, but we did have a bonding bill last year because that was kind of left over from the previous year when it didn't get done. So in the odd number of years, we are constitutionally required to pass a budget. This is an even number year, so we are not constitutionally required to do anything. So,
And we've seen that.
We have seen that in the past. And we would love to get a bonding bill over the finish line, a bonding bill for these projects that are predominantly in Greater Minnesota need a 2/3 majority to pass. So it's really an opportunity for a lot of bipartisan work. And for that reason, that's one of the only levers of power that the minority has to accomplish other things, too. It was like, well, if we want to get a bonding bill done, you know, do or don't do X, Y, Z. So last week, I got to appear in the Capital Investment Committee with City Administrator Ben Martig, moved his entire schedule around so he could pop up to the Capitol for 10 minutes, 5 minutes on two different bills. One was improvements to Bridge Square. And that was very well received by the committee. Maybe a little bit of confusion on a question or two, but the chair of the Capital Investment Committee graduated from Carleton, so there was a fun little local moment that Northfielders will appreciate, where he was asking, "Oh, that's where the statue is, right? Which way is that eagle pointing?" And he knows that I went to St. Olaf, and so there was a fun little back and forth moment at the end of talking about improvements to Bridge Square. And, you know, he wanted to make sure that tradition would carry forth. So, and then the second proposal that we talked about is funds. It's $10 million right now in the proposal that would go from the capital investment, from the bonding committee, over into housing to support the infrastructure for projects like the New Leaf Co-op that is being discussed here in Northfield. There's another cooperative model of manufactured homes or modular homes in other communities in greater Minnesota too. The discussion is sort of the furthest along in Northfield. The contract to work with North Country Foundation was only extended for a month. That gets us kind of right around the end of our session. So hopefully we would know if there could be some state matching dollars to be able to help with infrastructure for a project like that.
Yeah, and I understand we had Gayla Malika on yesterday to talk about that, along with Brent Nystrom.
I tuned in, yes.
Yeah, and they have some good things to say about that. It's an exciting project, and Northfield does have some options going forward. They could do it, they could not do it. There could be some cooperation, and the end result has not been finished yet, mm-hmm. but I understand. Did Galen testify while he was up there?
He did, yes. Mm-hmm. So he testified. So I had two hearings in the same day on that bill. So City Administrator Martig was in capital investment for those two, and those were really quick. They were like, I have never done speed dating, but that's how I imagine it. Chair Fu Lee runs a very tight ship, which I really appreciate. It is. You get 5 minutes in, out. And then in the housing committee, Commissioner Malika came up and we got to spend a little bit more time, not too much more time, but to really talk about the proposed project. And of course, we know there's that missing middle housing needs across the state of Minnesota. Mm-hmm. But the fact that we could try to do something innovative here and set the model for other communities to look at, Minnesota made manufactured homes cooperatively, cooperative model on city-owned land, I think, is there are a lot of questions, like I heard Brent Nystrom talk about, but I think there's also a lot of potential for us to innovate.
Mm-hmm. And just to be clear, the monies that we're talking about for that particular project, that's not part of the bonding bill. That would be just from the government. Do I have that right?
It would be. So there would be a dollar-to-dollar match. That would have to be, half of that money put up by the city of Northfield. Mm-hmm. And then the other half would come from this fund that we're trying to get dollars to go into this fund that already exists in under housing.
Okay.
So it would be to try to get some of these bonding dollars, because mm-hmm. especially because bonding is a lot of support goes to Greater Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And so this is saying, hey, we've got this Greater Minnesota Infrastructure Fund. Let's put some of these bonding dollars in and be able to have a community like Northfield or Roseau apply for these one-to-one matching funds.
Mm, good. I like that. I like that idea. Representative Purcell, anything else you'd like to mention while we have you on the show?
I presented two bills yesterday in the Ag Committee. One was very simple, quick and easy, was the definition of honey.
Which did you come up with something?
We came up with something. So until very recently, I did not know that there is, it's got a great acronym. It's like economically motivated. It's basically like the watering down of honey products, where you might start with honey, but then you add, sucrose and water and a little food coloring. And there's a lot of this product that comes from overseas that it's offered more cheaply than actual Minnesota grown and North American honey. And basically the only checkpoints for those are at the port of entry. And so if this sort of honey, this honey product, we'll call it, makes it in to through our ports of entry, then it can be sold next to locally grown honey.
Boy, it sounds like the syrup argument
yes.
of a generation
yes,
or two ago.
Yes, exactly. So we have a definition that better aligns with the federal definition, and to make sure to kind of close that loophole of those two things can't be sitting next to each other on the shelf, because our honey farmers, they can't compete with that, because they put a lot of work and effort into keeping the bees and
extracting so much the honey. Of the benefit from honey comes from local honey.
Yes,
local
actual honey.
Yeah, and from the area, you know, if the bees feed on the and pollinate the local plants, the native plants, it makes better for you. It's better for allergies and things like that. Well, it's almost like a, I hate to use the word vaccine, but it does help with your immunity.
Right.
So good stuff.
Right. So if we think we're eating honey, but we're actually, it's like monk fruit sucrose. I'm not a scientist, but you don't get those same benefits.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that was kind of a quick and easy bill, especially compared to some other things that I've carried. So that was nice to have that. I think it was a unanimous, bipartisan support on that.
All right. Good to hear. Christy, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thanks
much
for having me,
We'll talk to you next week.
Okay. Sounds great.